Brittle Diamonds, Chapter 33. The Status Quo. Tuesday. As Matt's little red MG pulled out of the village of Long Donkey the next morning, Father Peter was giving his doctor's receptionist a broad smile and exiting the surgery. He crossed the car park to his old white Volvo, whose remote system had stopped working before he was even given the car. He turned the key in the lock and opened the door. Once inside, he sat with his head back against the rest and closed his eyes. So this was it. Not that he'd thought otherwise, the signs were too obvious. The doctor had been very kind, suggesting immediate treatment, but the priest had been firm in his refusal to delay the inevitable. Father, you know this reluctance of yours will be seen as suicide, as a deliberate way out of facing your accusers. Is that what you think? Father Peter asked him in a quiet voice. No, Father, not for a minute. And my Father in heaven won't think so either. I'm not worried about public opinion, Doctor, so don't you be on my behalf. 2 months, he thought. I've got 2 months. God, how can I make the most effective use of that time? You will suffer from extreme weight loss. Be ready. This disease spreads fast to the liver, and you will soon feel exhausted all the time. While you have an appetite, eat plenty of fruits and vegetables, high in protein and low in saturated fats. Minimize sugars and starchy foods. That way you will aid your digestion. Father Peter joked, saying, an apple a day, is that it? But the doctor had replied, this is not amusing, Father. If you won't let me help you, then at least help yourself in this one respect. One thing he did accept from the doctor was a morphine prescription. He collected it from Boots the chemist on his way back from Strawford to his house, and there he broke the news to Cerberus. The dog wagged his tail in response. Father Peter smiled. Cerber, old boy, I suspect you're not the only one who's going to be pleased at the news. Still, that can't be helped, and it's not my place to condemn. The disgraced parish priest of Brotherton spent the rest of the day in his armchair, his dog at his feet, and the Bible in his hands. Now that he'd been diagnosed, he felt a great tiredness sweep over him. It was as if he'd been keeping it at bay until certain he had the disease. It took those few hours for the reality of his situation to sink in, and just as it did, his doorbell rang. It was dark outside. Father Peter looked at his watch. 8 o'clock. Who can that be? He asked the dog, getting up slowly to open the door. Matt stood outside, looking worn. Hello, my friend, Father Peter said. You look as tired as I feel. Come in. Matt walked in and patted the black Labrador mix on his head. He stole a glance at his host and responded, and you look as tired as I feel. Let's sit down and drink to feeling tired then. He ushered Matt into the living room. What can I get you? Gin and tonic, if you will. Matt chose a seat opposite the one he knew to be the priest's favourite. So what have you been doing that makes you so weary? Father Peter asked as he shuffled about at the drink sideboard. Travelling to the Welsh border and back, Matt replied. What on earth for? Just felt like it. Then how come it's got you in such a bad mood? I didn't find what I wanted. That's always frustrating, the pastor agreed, handing Matt a brimming drink and avoiding his eyes. You're not going to ask me what I was looking for, are you? Matt asked, with a slight edge to his voice. No, it's none of my business. Goodness, the man was in a terrible mood. Can't you guess? I suppose if I felt a bit wider awake, I would give it a stab. The priest sat down heavily in his armchair and closed his eyes before taking a sip of his whiskey soda. Matt had chosen a bad time. Father Peter didn't have the energy for this now. He opened them again and tried to give a smile. Matt seemed to have regained his manners. His voice was gentler as he asked, "What's made you so lackluster?" He paused. Then his eyes flew open and he continued, "Did you happen to see a doctor today by any chance?" So the man wasn't completely blind. "It so happens that I did happen to happen upon him today," he joked. "Father, this isn't funny." "Sounds like my doctor," Father Peter thought. "What did he say?" "He said I needed plenty of rest and gave me a prescription." "I'll bet he did. Did he give you an appointment for radiation or chemo?" The old man in his armchair sighed deeply. "So I guess you've guessed then." He smiled feebly at his continuation of the joke, raised a fatigued arm in the air, as if about to make a sign of the cross. Matt replied, "I have, that is, had, a friend with the same pallor in the face as you, Father. It wasn't difficult to work out. Do you mind if I ask how long you have?" "No, it'll be a relief to talk about it. My good doctor friend said I had 2 months." Father Peter saw the horror in Matt's eyes. "Don't be alarmed for me, Matt. I'm ready for it. I truly am. When you think about it, my whole life has been a preparation for this." "But aren't you going to fight it? Aren't you going to undergo chemo or something?" "No," the man sighed. He knew how this riled Matt, who would have reacted so differently in the same situation. But Matt didn't know all the facts. "Father, I went to your seminary today, and guess what? There are no records there to show what really happened." "Perhaps that's a good thing, Matt." "But it looks as if there's been a deliberate cover-up. Someone is trying to hide what went on, and it makes you look horribly guilty." "I'm sorry it makes me look guilty, but you're right. There has been a deliberate cover-up." "Do you know who's done it? Can't you force them to hand over the records so your name can be cleared?" "Matt, my friend, yes to the first question and yes to the second." "So do it!" came Matt's exasperated cry. He half got up from his chair, his hands extended in supplication. "Matt, this may sound very naive to you, but I still live in hope that my accusers will withdraw their accusations." "But you don't have very long, Father. Why wait any more? What is it that you think God still wants of you? He's taking your life away. What more can he ask?" "He is asking me to teach my pagan friend patience. Will you feel better if I tell you that all will be well in the end?" "How can that possibly be? God is taking you away. Tell me how on earth that can be a good ending." "Trust me, it will be." "In some twisted way, you seem to think it will be for you. But how about me?" Matt covered his face with his hands. Father Peter could see his friend's shoulders shaking and understood that Matt was overwhelmed by all the issues in his life, not just this cancer business. He was crying because he'd lost his job and because he'd failed in his secret, heroic attempt to clear a man he cared about. A man who had faith in a God Matt wanted to, but couldn't, believe in. Cerberus turned toward the sobbing human with a troubled expression. He rose from his master's feet and walked over. When the dog pushed a wet nose into the sad man's clasped hands, Matt looked up and stroked him. "You understand, don't you, Cerberus, even if your pig-headed master doesn't?" Father Peter laughed. "I suppose I deserve that, but I also understand more than you realize. Matt," his voice became more earnest, "you don't need me. You think you do, but you don't." "No, don't interrupt," he said quickly, as he saw Matt open his mouth to argue. "I need to say this while I can. I was going to save it for a little speech down the road, but now is as good a time as any. You have Rosa and your son. They need you, and they are the important ones in your life, even if you've never before had time to reflect on that." "Then why do I feel so empty at the thought of you going away?" "Because there's something more you need, but you haven't figured it out yet." "And you have?" "You needn't sound so scathing, my pagan friend. As a matter of fact, yes." "Well, what is it?" "My telling you won't help. In fact, it would hinder you." "Father, do you know how maddening you are? If you weren't so sick, I swear I'd..." "No, you wouldn't. And people think I'm arrogant." "They're right, you are. I'm simply self-assured. There's a difference, you know." "Father, you're incurable." The priest gave a rueful smile. "Yes, I'm afraid I am."